Welcome to the Daily Bolster. Each day, we welcome transformational executives to share their real-world experiences and practical advice about scaling yourself, your team, and your business.
Welcome to the Daily Bolster. I'm Matt Blumberg, co-founder and CEO of Bolster, and I'm here today with Danny Shader. Danny is a multi-time tech founder with a couple of exits. First with Accept.com, which was acquired by Amazon, and then he did a stint at Amazon. Then with Good, which was acquired by Motorola. Now he is the CEO of PayNearMe in the fintech space. And he was, for the archives, he was the first head of developer relations for Netscape. Danny, good to see you.
Nice to see you. Thanks for doing this, Matt.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you joining me today. And, you know, one of the things you and I have talked about a couple times over the last couple of years is that we're in this like never-ending period of uncertainty in the world. You know, it's been 8 quarters since VCs freaked out and said there's going to be a recession in 2 quarters. And here we are. And it still feels like, not quite sure what's going to happen next year. There's geopolitical uncertainty, domestic political uncertainty, climate uncertainty, economic uncertainty. So this is the stuff that CEOs have to deal with every day. And so my question for you is, how have you kept your team focused and motivated during this this kind of never-ending uncertainty? Like, what are the top couple things you've done?
Well, let me just put this in context. So this feels like a blip in time because I'm about to enter my 16th year of working on this business. And most of the executive team has been here from the beginning. And so the real question is, how do you hold people together through all kinds of stuff, right?
And I am happy to talk to you about that too.
Yeah. I think it's all part of the same thing. Because, you know, it's interesting. Over the course of this period, over the course of this history, the number of things that have been hot in the valley and then blown up, and then the next thing's hot and blown up. And meanwhile, we keep chugging along.
So, yeah, well, and you know, 16 years, you must have started right after the financial meltdown.
Exactly right.
And,
And, you know, now we have this sizable business. We moved, you know, well over $1 billion through the network last month, right? So it's and growing really, yeah, really quick with accelerating growth. And what's, I think what holds everybody together is that it's unusual to find a group of people who have, I think, this magic set of characteristics where, you know, to a person, I think everybody in the organization is smart, hardworking, has high integrity, and has sort of character and grit. And, you know, I used to work for a guy named Bill Campbell, who was a legendary Valley guy.
Absolutely legendary, yeah.
And if you looked at the people around him, you know, superficially, they all looked really different. But if you thought deeply about it, those were sort of the core characteristics of that group of folks. And it's easy to find people who have one or two of those, but to find people who have all four is unusual. And when you're in a group like that, I think you tend to realize it's really special. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think people want to do things for the right reason. And one of the best reasons is to do it for the people you're around. And so if you can get with that kind of group of people and realize it's special, then you'll want to get up every day and work with those kinds of people forever if you can. And I think that, you know, I think that is the core glue that holds the company together. And then it just so happens we have a good business, you know, that's gotten better. And so that, you know, that helps. But I think it's mostly about the people.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's certainly the case that great people want to work with great people, and that great people motivate other great people, and that great people raise the bar on other great people.
Yep.
Look, it's also true that the ups and downs of the world around you impact your mood and impact your team's mood. No matter how good the relationships are and how good at execution they are.
Yeah, so just a couple of thoughts on that. One is that a friend of mine, a guy named Joel Jewett, said, and I think this is great, is that the experience of being in a startup is sinusoidal, but the period keeps getting longer. In other words, you know, in the early days, you're a hero, and then the next day you're a goat, and then you're a hero, and then you're a goat, and then it's this week you're good, and then you're bad for a week, and then a month you're good, and then a month you're bad, and then a quarter you're good, and then, you know, they always talk about in public companies, there's no such thing as one bad quarter, right? It's one bad year. But right, things cycle and come back. And the trick to that is realize if you're feeling great, just remember the next day you're likely to feel like crap. So enjoy it. And if you're feeling like crap, don't worry, because the next day things are likely to go well, right? So I think there's keeping that perspective makes a big difference.
Well, keeping that perspective is really important for you as the CEO, but you actually have to impart that perspective on everybody else, right?
Correct. But I think if you believe that yourself, it's easier to impart it on others. And then the other thing is, I was happening to be talking about this with somebody yesterday, but you know that guy, Gene Kranz, who ran the, he was the guy with the white flathead who ran Mission Control or something.
Apollo 13.
Right. So in Apollo 13, he's played by Ed Harris or something.
Yes.
But I remember seeing interviews with him. And, you know, he was always famous for saying, like, work the problem, people, and stuff like that. But there was one interview with him once I heard that it stuck with me. It's probably 30 years ago I heard this, where he says something like, problems, we love problems. We chew them up and spit them out. And I remember thinking, you know, if you can have that attitude when you're grinding through this stuff, like, you know, you'll get to a good place. Because, look, the reality is that tech is a rising tide, right? And so if you can stay in the game, you're likely to get to a good outcome, right? So, you know, I'm fond of saying a team of reasonable, smart people pointed in the general direction of a good market are likely to get to a good outcome. And so your job as the CEO is put together a good team, point them generally in the direction of a good market, be flexible, and then don't run out of money and don't run out of heart, right? And so if you can sort of think of problems as part of that, and you get the right group of people around you, like, something good's going to happen.
Yeah.
So just hang in there.
So let me ask you one follow-up that just kind of occurred to me about this. You know, the thing that Mission Control has going for it in NASA is, you know, there's full transparency, right? Everybody's looking at the dashboards. Everybody's looking at the screens.
Right.
And Gene Kranz doesn't have to figure out how to parse out information. He has to figure out how to help people interpret it. I don't know the level of transparency that you bring to your organization. I suspect it's pretty high, and that you bring it even higher at the executive level. But what role do you think transparency plays in, again, sort of the long game, and especially when, like, the world around you is on fire?
You know, it's funny you should say that, because we have like five values of the company. One of them is do the right thing, deliver results, be respectful, transparent, and flexible, right? Okay. So I'm a huge believer in transparency. It comes from a couple of things. One is that I think reasonable people faced with the same data will tend to reach the same conclusions. So when people aren't reaching the same conclusions, they probably have different data, right? Or they're making different assumptions. And so if you can be transparent, you can get rid of that element of uncertainty and get everybody focused on the same thing. So that's one thing.
Yeah.
Second thing is that I think transparency breeds cohesion, right? So that I worked for one of the big consulting firms earlier in my career, and I always thought it was interesting that they never actually told us what our revenues were. They just gave us an index of revenues.
Yeah, they also never told you. They also never told you that they billed you out at $2,200 a day while paying you $200 a day. They
probably didn't say that either. But I remember thinking, like, you know, they don't trust us, so why would I trust them, right?
Right.
You know, or why? Right. And so I've always had the view, like, if you want to have people keep secrets, tell them everything, and then let them know if we don't keep doing it, then we can't keep sharing.
Right.
So we have a bias towards that, both because I think it tends to keep the confidential information confidential, and also because, again, it creates that common context for people to make good decisions.
Excellent conversation, Danny Shader. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.